Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
The America Last policies of the Biden administration were on full display yesterday. I mean, it was the most cringeworthy visit of a disaster area that I've ever seen. That comment, the comment about the ground being hot, showing up 2 weeks late. Imagine if President Bush, after Katrina, had decided to go junk it off to some faraway place and take a vacation. I mean, the press would have had his head even more than they already did. This press gives him a pass. I think it's inexcusable. The conduct of this administration, and quite frankly, the people of Maui and this country deserve better than what they're receiving right now.
Well, they're not going to get it. I mean, yeah. If that's what you were wondering, they're not going to get it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. I asked Kane, I was being kind of a smart aleck. I asked him as we are getting, you know, ready for air and all that stuff here. And I'm like, was that comment by Congressman Schartz? Schartz was the name, I believe. That's what Biden called him. And I can't remember what he called Mazie Hirono. I don't even think he said her last name. I think he was just like, the hell? And then just went on. All he could do was say her first name, Mazie, because it's the same name as one of his grandkids. And he made sure to, I think I've heard him mention that twice now. So it is, It went over poorly, in case you were wondering about the fallout of his visit to Maui. And because it's an 11, to go to Hawaii from Texas is like 11 hours. And then to go from, I don't know what the flight is like from Tahoe to Maui. What, like five? I think I heard someone say it was like 5 hours. So even then, I mean, it's just, I guess he was tired. I don't know. Oh, man. So welcome to the show. Like I said, Dana Lash here with you. We're following that. There's a whole bunch of other stuff to follow today, but I just want to give you greetings and salutations as we get going with debate pre, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Debate pre. And we're going to talk about the debate. We're going to get it all set up and get all of that going for you as well. We're going to give you a preview into all of this stuff. Who's going to be there? Because I think Asha Hutchinson, I was saying this yesterday, he is going to be there. I was looking at, you have to forgive me, I'm looking at all my notes, because he wasn't going to be there at first. Remember, he didn't qualify. That one, the mayor of Miami, he lied and told everybody that he had qualified and he didn't qualify. He's not going to be there. And I think Pence is going to be there. He's slated to be there. He hadn't signed the pledge, and I guess he did now, right? Because he's going to be on stage.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. But he's got to sign that to get on their stage. And then it came out yesterday that the Fox people had banned. It wasn't Ronna McDaniel. It wasn't Romney McDaniel who did it, but apparently it was Fox people who had banned Trump surrogates from being in the spin room or being at the debate to talk to press because he wasn't participating. So that's the latest. That's the latest what we got. So all of this with the debate and everything else, and then we have the situation unfolding in Pittsburgh, which we're watching. All of that, we got a lot to cut through this morning. All right, so like I said, you can stream the program across the country. Welcome. You can watch the simulcast as we dive into everything. I hope that you've been following along at the newsletter because there's so much stuff that's coming out. And we're also going to be doing a live discussion for newsletter subscribers. So if you're a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, you're going to be able to chat with me live tonight all throughout the debate. And we're going to kind of Mystery Science Theater it a little bit with the threat, right? We're going to be doing a little bit of that with the debate. And so you're going to be participating right along. And I'm eager to see what our subscribers have to say. Okay, so first and foremost, let's just get all into it. Now that we got the table set, it's a busy day. So Maui, I don't know how this is going to impact the way that, I mean, I would imagine that this is going to have an effect on how people vote and how people look at the election. This came at a time when Democrats could least afford it, really. I mean, look at this audio, but Democrats are still kind of trying to defend it. Audio Soundbite 16, this was them still trying to make this, trying to defend it, trying to say that he was warmly received. Although, I got to be honest, all of the video footage that I've seen is contrary to that, but listen to this.
You know, listen, it's great to be here. I understand from my colleagues in Hawaii that President Biden was very warmly received there. And I think also that the president has a unique capacity to connect with people and express empathy for what they've been going through.
Was she purposely trying to say empathy? Because that's what he's been criticized on, is the lack of empathy, because he hasn't really had any empathy. I think we talked about this yesterday. It's like he's faked it. He's faked having empathy, trying to one up. We were talking about the emotional one upsmanship. But I wanted to point this out because I was on Jesse Waters yesterday evening, talking about these FEMA officials. And there's this disconnect that the media seems to be applying to the situation with Joe Biden, because when it was George Bush, everybody remembers when he was flying above Katrina, looking at the devastation, and people mocked him for saying that, oh my gosh, can you believe that he's not even down there? Oh my gosh, what a horrible person. Like that. Not only did they act like he actually created the hurricane by stirring up the Gulf himself, but they also got mad at him because he didn't single-handedly go down there and clean everything up, right? And so they got real, you remember that, Kane, right? That picture of him looking out the window, that was everywhere. Oh my gosh. And they just assailed him. They were so mad at him. But There isn't any of that with this. Like, they were blaming Bush for actions that the Louisiana governor didn't take. You guys remember this. You had, who was it, Ray Nagin at the time. You also had the governor of Louisiana, who was supposed to call out the National Guard, and they failed to do so. They failed to put in place all of these emergency precautions. They knew this was coming. Then it came out, you know, in the months after this, you know, horrible disaster in Louisiana, it came out that, oh my gosh, all of the money that was supposed to go to a lot of this prevention, you know, the floods of the different parishes and all of this stuff, like it had disappeared. There was a lot of embezzlement. I mean, there was, and it's a Democrat run city and it was a Democrat governor. So there were a lot of questions, but everyone acted like that George Bush was the, and I'm not even a W fan, but they all acted like he was the governor of Louisiana. And he was also simultaneously the mayor of New Orleans. And they acted like he was responsible for every single thing that happened, every single step of the way. And I want you to contrast that too with Puerto Rico and Trump, right? I mean, after the hurricanes came through and devastated Puerto Rico, Trump went down. I believe he was in San Juan. They were distributing supplies. Everything was ignored about his visit, except when he was kind of like playfully throwing some paper towels. And then the headlines were Trump only goes to Puerto Rico to ping Puerto Ricans in the head with paper towels. That's the way it was presented. Now contrast that with what's happening here with Maui. You have FEMA officials staying in these $1,000 a night luxury hotels in Maui. So there's, in Maui, you have the Four Seasons, which is a super, it's like the bougiest resort in Maui, I think. I think the Four Seasons is. I've never stayed there, so I don't know. I'm just like going off of what I've read last night as I was preparing to talk to you about this today. They have the Astoria, they have the Fairmont, and the Four Seasons, which apparently is like the bougiest one there. And it's it is like a minimum of like $1,000 a night. Super expensive. I mean, it's the Four Seasons, for crying out loud. Okay, you guys know, come on. So these FEMA officials are staying in these super swanky luxury hotels. And the defense that people have been putting up for them is that, well, that's all that was available, which actually is a lie, because there were like some days ins. There were a bunch of other more midline hotels that were closer, actually, to the devastation that were not all the way booked. That's a fact. Not only, like, when I was talking to Jesse's producers last night, I was looking this up and they were looking this up. That's a fact. I mean, I could have booked a bunch of rooms last night. And I don't know why that isn't being done, actually, for some of these victims. It's bizarre. So they have this, you know, these FEMA employees staying in these super swanky hotels. And some of them are like 40 minutes away from where the devastation is. And like I said, there are hotels that are way closer. So I don't buy the whole argument that, oh, well, there wasn't anything else available. That's a lie. And I don't buy the argument, too, that they have any other special infrastructure that other hotels don't have that these FEMA people needed. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's a horrible waste of money. Now, you may have missed this, but yesterday they had one of the FEMA directors who is on the ground there who is setting up a fight over this. She's one of the FEMA directors, and she's setting up a fight because she was telling the press that, oh, well, FEMA, actually, we need more money, not less money. You know, we're very worried about this. We have to have more money. She's setting up a fight over FEMA, and she's giving Democrats an assist, because when House members come back from recess on September 1st, one of the first things that they're going to be tackling is this budget battle. And in that budget battle is more money for FEMA. And it's not that FEMA lacks money. It's that they're horrible stewards of it. And so they're trying to set this up. I'm promising you that's going to be an argument going into September. They're going to say, oh, my gosh, Republicans don't care about Maui recovery. Democrats aren't going to give a rat's ass about Maui until September 1st. Then they're going to say, oh, Republicans don't care about Maui and the disaster there. Look, they don't even want to spend all this extra money for FEMA. Look at this. They're setting it up. I noticed that yesterday. I actually interrupted. Jesse was playing this clip, and I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What did she just say here? That's a setup. And that's what Republicans in the House are going to be walking into. But the contrast in how this is viewed and how they're protecting Biden with this, I think Biden's gotten worse. I think that he can't handle these long flights. I don't think that he's well enough to even appear in public, hardly, honestly. We all have had old people in our family. We know what decline looks like. Okay. We've all seen it. Let's not pretend. I mean, people say, oh, it's rude manners to talk. It's bad manners to talk about this. It's bad manners to put out this barely sentient octogenarian basically out here and tell us all that we're rude if we somehow point out his severe cognitive decline. That's what's rude. Stop lying to us. Now, 2024, the debate is tonight. And we already have apparently the Never Back Down. That's the pack that is the super pack that is supportive of the DeSantis campaign. Apparently they got targeted and suspended. They're back, but they got suspended. I thought that's a little weird. So I saw that. That was one of the developments in 2024. And Trump is apparently now going after Glenn Youngkin. Not quite sure why. He's doing it through, I think, Sloppy Steve, who decided to tackle Glenn Youngkin, which I don't understand why people are going after successful governors. We're going to talk about this, because you would think that you would want this. This is something that you would, especially for Republicans, you would want to celebrate the wins that you're having in these state by state things. So the surrogates are saying, oh, gutless Glenn Youngkin on full display, gutless Glenn Youngkin. But he's delivered. He's delivered in his state. I mean, there's a number of red state governors that have delivered a lot of promises, like pretty much every single promise they've made. They actually gutted the swamp in their state. I don't understand the point of this stuff. And Republicans are silent on it because they have crap leadership. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Utility companies are having to navigate between their safety and government-mandated green energy transition. Is your local government pushing these ESG policies, which could make problems worse in a disaster? Don't let the government meddle in the private sector. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Elon Musk is trying to stem the tide of clickbait, which is so horrible. And my favorite thing is like to save people a click and just tell them what it's about. So he's going to try to hide headlines and text from news articles to improve the aesthetics. Lorraine makes a good point, though. Like maybe also check out some of the advertisers because they do that exact thing with a lot of their ads. That, you know what it is? It's like they have the headline like, look what this person may have done. What? And then you click it and it's like nothing. It's a nothing burger. And you wasted 3 seconds of your precious life reading this stupid story and giving this website clicks. So I don't know if I'm actually against it or not. I don't know. I do think the block should be left. So a couple of things. Oh, this is what I want to get to. Alec Baldwin, he's tried to axe Rust crew members the suit over the shooting when he shot and killed their cinematographer, Elena Hutchins. You guys remember this? So the Armorer, her trial date, I think, was set for September. Alec Baldwin doesn't have a trial date yet because he's special, and because his last name is Baldwin and he's a Democrat, he gets to shoot and kill whoever he likes without any kind of accountability or justice. So the criminal trial for these crew members, their suit over this, he's trying to get these people that filed suit against him and the production, because he's the executive producer, he's trying to get them fired. I just think that he's trying to stop them and trying to push them out of it and then trying to stop and axe their suit as well. I don't know. I just don't think. Lionsgate brings back mask mandates in the office, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Lionsgate's a production firm out in Hollywood. I will punch someone in the face and go to jail before I wear a mask. I'm not joking you. Like, we'll descend into fisticuffs here. And, which we're going to get into all of this, everything with the mask mandates, the clot shot, and more. They're pushing it again. We'll talk. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free. And it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
You have to have a reason to lock down, for example, in New York City, when Elmhurst Hospital was overrun and they were having cooler trucks outside because they had no places to put the bodies. You had to have something to immediately shut down the tsunami of infection. That lockdown was absolutely justified. The real critical question is, what do you do during the lockdown? And when do you stop locking down?
So when he's not doing this, he's pushing climate change stuff. I don't know if you guys saw some of that. Oh, that's a true thing. That's Fauci's pushing that as well. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this first hour. So I guess, I mean, it looks like the mask mandates are returning. And they're pushing this again. You guys saw the headline, I'm sure. It is the, hang on, I'm gonna, it's the B, this weird variant, BA.2.86.
Yep.
That's right. They said that a Virginia resident who traveled from Japan is the second U.S. patient to be infected with this mutant strain. And experts say the case is just the tip of the iceberg. There was a doctor that is actually a pretty well-respected doctor. Not a political one. They're kind of, they run this, I have different, on Twitter, I have different lists and different ways to follow people. I kind of use it like a wire. I use Twitter like as a search engine. And it's a real boring doctor, but it's like a respiratory, I can't remember the dude's discipline. But he was saying that from what he's seen, it is essentially similar, but without the, and I, for the lack of the medical ease that he used to describe it, basically the respiratory stuff is nowhere near as bad. It's like a light, that's what he was saying. And he's not like, he's not a bomb. I actually don't know the guy's politics. And I've seen and under his, and again, this is, you know, take it for what it is. There were other medical professionals and they were all discussing this and that. I just think that this is garbage we're going to have a bad flu season and they're going to try to exploit that by, this variant. They said it was an asymptomatic patient in Virginia and they said it was spotted in Michigan last week and it stems from the earlier branch of the virus. So it differs from the variants targeted by current vaccines. And they're trying to mandate face masks. I will raise all manner of hell if they try to do this in colleges. I'll be damned if I go another year with a kid in a damn mask in a classroom. Like hell. I mean, there's a great way. There is a great way to have a fight out in the damn streets with that. And I am not joking, and that's not hyperbole. We are not doing this again. But people are primed for it. I mean, people respond to government panic like sheep. They go nuts. Oh my gosh, we can't handle. We have been conditioned. This is the danger of big government. Big government conditions you into thinking that, oh my gosh, I can't handle it alone. Where are the government services? I got to be honest, if Fit hit the Shan and, you know, we had like power outages and all this stuff and it was like crazy and people, I got iodine tablets, I got MR, I've got everything, but I'm weird like that. I'm just like some people are like, oh, I'm a prepper. And I'm like, that's funny. Cause I mean, literally I want to dig a bunker under my home. And we were like trying to work with like, we had to like consult geologists and stuff. Cause you know, North Texas ground's very rocky, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, I want to have a bunker. I want to have all this stuff. I want to have a solid concrete house, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I have enough supplies for like 5 years, I'm not joking. So that's when, you know, when the first lockdowns hit, I didn't understand why everybody was freaking out over toilet paper because I'm like, doesn't everybody have like 5 years supply? But Kane, to that, you know, I think that's kind of a thing of growing up poor.
Yeah.
You're always prepared when you grow up poor,
that's right.
Aren't you?
That's right.
You are always prepared. If you grow up poor, oh man, there's nothing that life is going to throw at you that you're not going to be able to handle. You grow up poor. Do you know that I used to like erase stuff on paper and reuse it in school? Because I couldn't afford, I'm not joking you, because I couldn't afford paper. And I was borrowing notebook paper from my cousin. Because I couldn't afford it. I literally would have to take an eraser and erase stuff to reuse sheets of paper. Hands to sky. I had it. So it's like you're prepared for anything.
Yep.
I mean, I'm like, well, and I was so prepared with all the paper goods that I even had like my A list, my B list, and my C list. You know, the bad single ply, the kind of okay two ply, and then the quilted, you know, multi-ply. Like, I was ready. I had water. I was like ready to rock. I had food. I had everything. But people freak out because they think, oh my gosh, where are the government services? What are we going to do? We don't have government services. It's just a weird way to think. So they're saying they haven't even detected this variant in Japan yet. And Kane and I were talking about this yesterday. I mean, we're going to have a high. I think we're going to have a bad flu season, but that does not mean that this is what. Golly, this is just wild. So they are looking to bring. They have movie studios bringing back mask mandates. They have a few cases of this strain, and everyone is losing their minds. Their absolute minds. So you have Rutgers that's saying, oh, you have to have the non-working clot shot and the mask on your stupid face. And then what? There was another school in Atlanta saying you also have to wear a stupid mask on your dumb face. What else? I mean, it's crazy. And they're going to try to push this. It's not going to happen. Yeah, I hope that students on college campuses, if they try this stuff again on college campuses, I hope they riot. And let me tell you something. The people who don't want to get mad and the people who just want to be left alone and the people who want to go about their lives and be, you know, good stewards of the fruits of their labor and to be good contributors to society and just live their lives. Those are the people you don't want to piss off. Because those are the people that when they set their minds to riot, well, it'll be like nothing you've ever seen. So I hope that people are done messing around with this non-scientific garbage. Because you're literally talking about microscopic particles that are easily breathable through masks that don't work to filter them. It is the equivalent of a Linus from Peanuts security blanket. I never wore my mask properly going into any facility. I would wear it to where I would make someone tell me. And then so if you've never watched What They Do in the Shadows or What We Do in the Shadows, it's a little, it's not every episode's for everybody, even me. But they have a guy who's an energy vampire on there and it's hysterical. Because he loves government bureaucracy because he says it's a great way to feed. Energy vampire, you get people so worked up and aggravated over the bureaucracy that they just get mad and he feeds off that. He feeds off the rage. That and social media. He loves them. His name's Colin Robinson. And he was talking about how he would feed off people just by doing basic things and they would have to correct him over and over again. So if you go in a store, you know, and you're wearing your mask because they make you, and I'd wear it to where it's like up here. It's like up maybe like, you know, and I'd have it like here, and they'd say, ma'am, you need to have it. And I'd pull it down to where my nose. And they're like, no, ma'am, you. And they don't want to touch you because they're, you know, that's when it was still weird. And I wouldn't have it. I would waste 5 minutes of my life doing this because it was worth it to me. Just because I want everyone to see how absurd all this is. It's ridiculous. It's so dumb. You still have the good. It's one thing if you have, and I'm not going to, this is the last time I'm going to say it because I'm tired of it. And if you have a compromised immune system, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm done. We get it. We're not morons. We don't have to sit here and baby people. Stop. That's one thing. But most of you don't. And you've seen the people who two mask and three mask it up. I mean, just literally like a week ago, Kane in the town square,
yeah.
A two masker. Uh-huh. Out in the sunshine. 100 degrees, week? Dude. 100
yeah,
degrees.
It's 100 and something in Texas, and it has been for the last 2.5 months. But I was walking in the park. I told you this last week. And I saw the masker again this morning.
The masker. It's like a boogeyman haunting the town.
I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, how are you walking in 100 degree temperature with a mask on?
That's a skit. It's the masker. Just in time for Halloween. It's just this person who appears everywhere around town with the masks on their face for no flipping reason at all whatsoever. It's the masker in the cereal aisle at Kroger. While you're out walking in the park, it's the masker. Just, I honestly feel like people do it to virtue signal at this point. Like, look how good I am. I'm wearing my mask.
It's It's not healthy.
You can tell everything about my politics by my face diaper. Just put a pillow over it and then press down. Just, does that mean? I don't care. All right, so I left myself no time in the segment for 2024. So Brett Baer refutes that he said that no one was blocking the surrogates from the spin room. He said this yesterday via Mediaite. He was saying that people can go to the debate, but they can't go to the spin room because you have to be either the delegate or invited by like the media, whatever, to go to the spin room. And he said, that's no one's block. That's not happening. No one's blocked from that. Stop. And we got to do a debate bingo. We do have to do this. We have to do a debate bingo. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do Chris Christie square. Because if it was Joe Biden, I would say anytime someone was called Jack, gosh, we'd have alcohol poisoning if that was the case. But I'm trying to figure out give me some ideas. How would I fit Chris Christie on the car? Like, what would Chris Christie do that I could put in a square? Because I thought it'd be fun, like while we're doing the live discussion with subscribers over at Chapter and Verse on Substack, like we could play a little debate bingo. But I cannot figure out what to put for, like, I want a Chris Christie square and I can't. Maybe I should put like a sandwich on it, right?
That would be like if he sweats or if he says Donnie.
Do you want to die? Like that's, he would sweat. I don't care if it's mean. I don't care. Dana doesn't care.
When he says coward, when he talks about Trump or something, like I'm sure there's a few we could come up with.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. I think we'll probably come up with some. So coming up, what is Vivek Ramaswamy trying to do here? He got himself in so much trouble yesterday because he said something in an interview with The Atlantic. And then he came out and said, that's not true. I didn't say it. The media smearing me. So it's so ignorant. And then The Atlantic was like, okay, here's the literal audio of your whole interview. And he said it exactly as it was quoted. We have enough media treachery out there without you say that you claiming that they're smearing you because you said something dumbass. I mean, and it was a very inarticulate, clumsy way. Part of me understands what he was trying to do, but part of me also thinks that he just wasn't articulate enough. And this is not a learning on the job thing, guys. It's the commander in chief. Okay. Would you hire someone learning on the job to take care of your dogs? Okay. This is the nation. You see the difference? We got to talk about this coming up. Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But the climate change countering has to come from an international commitment to decrease the carbon imprint in society so you don't have the kinds of crazy weather that we're having in this country. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, everything from the fire, the tragic fire in Hawaii, to Texas, which had something like 75 days in a row.
Because it's a desert! Over
95. I mean, it's completely, really amazing what's happened with climate.
It's a desert! It's a desert, that's why!
Why is he talking about climate change?
You know what, Kane? God, put a hand over my mouth right now. Because I'm about to say the analogy that you know I'm going to say, okay? You know it?
Yes,
You know what I'm going to do about how I
don't go to his place? Don't do slapping. No, don't do it.
Everyone out watching is like, oh, no, we want to know. I mean, I would totally get in trouble for it. I mean, we get fined and I don't know what else. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't, bear with me. It's like, I don't go to his place of employment and therefore, he doesn't need to be wandering into this, you know, telling people what their business is here, right? Do you catch that?
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back, Daniel Lasher. That was Dr. Anthony Fauci, who now, in addition to being a developing biowarfare expert, is also now a climate. Why is he talking about climate change? This guy is so thirsty for fame. He got a little bit of attention, and now he's like addicted. He is so obsessed with hearing himself talk. I mean, you got to go into talk radio for that. That's not what he's in. He is obsessed. He loves this appeal to authority because it's authoritarian worship in his case. He loves this. Why is he talking about climate change? And who has him on to talk about climate change? I mean, it's the same media that held up a 12-year-old to talk. Now she's graduated high school, right? So she's not like the little innocent kid anymore, that Greta Thunberg, whatever. Right. But why are they having this guy on to talk about climate change? Like you do the biowarfare stuff. They have him on and they don't ask him about all this other things.
Did he make a vaccine for climate change?
Would you make a clot shot for the climate change, Dr. Fauci? Would you do that? Golly. I mean, I've got a lot of mean things to say. We're going to try to go towards our second hour. So coming up in our second hour, we are going to talk with Congressman Chip Roy. You know, that big old rhino. At least that's what some. That's how dumb the primary has gotten. So I just want to have fun with it. You know, he's all for limited government and no income taxes and securing the border and keeping your guns. That big old rhino. So we're going to talk to him. Also, 2024, I don't understand why Vivek Ramaswamy is fighting himself. Like, he is making this so much harder. And people are like, oh, well, the only reason that people are paying more attention to him now is because he's increased in the polls a little bit. Actually, no, it's because I feel like he felt it was safer to sort of loosen the lips a little more. And that's my take, is that he got way too comfortable just talking without and got a little undisciplined. And now that's coming back to get him. So we're going to talk about all this stuff and more coming up in the second hour. We also got some culture stuff, too. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss.
He did serve as empathizer in chief after 5 days of being mostly silent on the issue publicly. But the governor said he was working behind the scenes to assure first responders that the feds had their back on this.
Oh, my gosh. That's CNN's Bill Weir saying, oh, well, you know, the Biden's just the empathizer in chief. I don't think so. He's back at Tom Steyer's Lake Tahoe mansion vacationing again, because that's all apparently he does anymore is vacation. He just vacations all the time. That's all he does. And in the meantime, where's the press saying the best that you can do for people in Maui after they paid their taxes and they did everything that their far left quasi-socialist state government required them to do? The best that you're going to do is come in and say, oh, here's like Pawn Stars. Best I can do is $700. Here you go. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also catch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, and channel 347 DirecTV. The debate is tonight. We're going to be previewing it, and then we're going to be going over the hits and misses tomorrow. If you are a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, my Substack, make sure you pay attention, because we're going to be having a live discussion tonight. I'll be hanging out and having a live discussion with everybody, subscribers at Substack, and I'll be sending our subscribers an email on how to join. It's very easy. So this with Maui, we were talking about the FEMA folks who were staying in the very, very swanky Four Seasons and the Astoria Hotel and all of this stuff, like 45 minutes away from where the actual devastation is, while there are a lot more affordable hotels closer. And I still feel like, A, the response, B, the lack of transparency. We highlighted how FEMA also sent out a letter saying no more pictures of devastation. They're trying to put a cap on how much devastation and loss of life. Actually, they're trying to control that now. How much gets out? They're trying to control that narrative. And in the meantime, one of their directors is setting up, giving Biden and Democrats an assist for when Republicans come back from recess on September 1st. One of the directors was caught saying, oh, well, yes, you know, we're going to need more money at FEMA because we're going to need more money for, you know, ABC. They're going to set up this argument, Democrats, who so far haven't really shown a lot of, you know, compassion or any kind of concern for Maui, like they have other natural disasters when they can weaponize it and use it against Republicans. Suddenly they're going to care about this on September 1st and they can use it as a cudgel in a budget battle with House Republicans. And we're going to talk to Chip Roy about that. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of this hour. So keep an eye on that because that's coming. 2024, the debate tonight. Now we have who is on stage. I think we got it all finalized. I think we know who's going to be where, what, when. Finally, we know. So the people that we have, the people who are going to be on stage, because you have Asha Hutchinson. He made it. Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, and then that Doug Burgum guy who kind of looks like the Great Value version of Eugene Levy. I think you would agree with that. Google him. I swear to you, Google him. Google Doug. He looks like the Great Value version of Eugene Levy. I promise you. I'm waiting for Kane because I want to hear Kane to go, oh my gosh, it's right. I just live for it. So those are the people going to be standing. You looked him up, didn't you?
Yeah.
He looks like, I'm telling you, does he? It's Juan is preparing the image for you. And if you're watching the simulcast, he's going to be at the bottom between Pence and Hutchinson. Or Hutchins. Yeah, Hutchinson down there. He's going to be at the bottom, on the bottom row, if you're looking at the simulcast of the radio show.
I see it.
The second from the right. That's the Great Value version of Eugene Levy. It's the eyebrows. It's those eyebrows, those wonderful, lush eyebrows. So that's going to be who's on stage tonight. So Asha Hutchinson is just going to be happy to be there. And I bet you he's going to try to scoot his podium as close as he can to the middle. I might be somewhat facetious, but who knows? He's going to scoot his podium. Chris Christie is going to eat everything in craft services in the back. Mike Pence is just going to be very, very nice. Don't forget he's nice, guys. He's super nice. Nice guy. And then he'll probably duck under the podium at some point. Everybody's going to be firing on DeSantis, who has to not only withstand the storm, but also use it to his advantage. Vivek Ramaswamy just needs to be careful not to say anything else stupid. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Nikki Haley is going to go. She's going to turn into the neocon Voltron. And she's going to use all of the everything with Ukraine and everything else and form one giant neocon battle bot up there on the debate stage. Tim Scott is going to talk about niceness and where he came from. And Doug Burgum, what the hell? Nobody knows. So that's the gist of it. It's funny because it's true. And you know it. You know it is. So I told you, if you've been following over at Substack, I had a two-part series. Will the real Vivek Ramaswamy please stand up? And I had been working on this, just so you know, I've been working on this for a while. This is not something that came. I've had the draft going for quite some time. And it's wild to me because I don't get how people can get so excited over somebody whose record they don't even know. People get offended when you're asking. There's one thing about there's trolling, and then there's asking legitimate questions about a candidate's positions and trying to figure out where they stand. And that's not, that's vetting a candidate, especially a candidate that comes out of nowhere. You have no idea what his positions are. And especially a candidate that has donated thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to Democrats and Act Blue, like as recently as like 2020. He had said before, and I was going through all the issues that he had waffled on, he says he tries to hold two opposing positions on every issue. So in part one, we looked at the death tax, how he was talking about a 59% death tax, and he was citing a known socialist, Thomas Piketty, and as his support for, as the reasoning for his 59% support of 59% death tax, right? because the government, apparently, he thinks should be the beneficiary of your life's hard labor and not your family. How, when he wasn't pushing COVID vaccines and a digital passport, you know, he helped create and he was selling this biomedical surveillance database to track all these patient records with his subsidiary company, DataVant. Now, he still owns Roivant, R-O-I-Vant, which stands for Return on Investment. And he still owns a stake in it. And that company that he owns a stake in is suing Pfizer and Moderna right now over mRNA tech. And his company's partnered with Pfizer numerous times. And not even, I mean, then there's the DEI. While he was CEO, his companies created DEI departments within the company. It's weird, right? Because the guy wrote a book about everything that other governors have done. So that's, and that's true. He didn't step down until, what, February of this year. He was CEO of Roivant. And he didn't step down until February of this year. And he tried to say later that he didn't realize it was about DEI, but it's literally called Roivant Social Ventures. That's the DEI department within Roivant Sciences. You didn't know the S stood for social? I mean, you're the CEO. You can't really play dumb with this stuff. You can't have it both ways. You can't brag about how you're a micromanager and then say that you didn't know this was happening in your own company. He created Strive Asset Management in 2022 to tackle corporate ESG, except critics were pointing out that it effectively damages its own mission because it purchases shares and then adds to the value of those companies, trying to force them to change their behaviors. And then they immediately started toning down their anti-woke rhetoric, like immediately. There was a huge piece about that. So these are all very, that's just part one. I mean, he was a Soros fellow. He tried to scrub that. He said that he only accepted the Soros Award to help pay for law school because he couldn't afford it, except he was already a multimillionaire when he went to law school. So that doesn't pan out either. He said he didn't vote before 2020. He actually cast his first vote for a libertarian in 2004. He's donated thousands, and I have all of the receipts up at Substack, chapter and verse. You can feel free. Don't take my word for it. Go and look at everything yourself. You can just bypass me totally and just go look at all of the links, because not only is everything cited, I also give you footnotes of everything else. So he's donated thousands to Act Blue, thousands to the DNC, including very recently. And he absolutely blasted Trump over January 6th. This was before he entered the primary. After he entered the primary, everything changed. He blamed Trump for inciting a riot. And after he entered the primary, Ramaswamy pulled another 180. He said, oh, no, that's not that what Trump wasn't the cause of it. But his tweets, he said, quote, what Trump did last week was wrong, downright abhorrent, plain and simple. He blasted him in his book, said Trump had a victimhood complex, said he was the Stacey Abrams of the Republican Party, and went on and on and on. And then he said he would pardon the Biden family. He said it in an interview with the New York Post and literally on camera. I have the video linked in another interview where he said he would pardon the family. And then he changed his mind on that and accused everyone who criticized him for it of lying about what he said, to the extent that Twitter actually had hit him with a community note correction. Now, when he talks about the deep state, I mentioned the Soros stuff. Who's praised George Soros. I have that screenshot up there as well. We talked about China and Israel. You know, the thing with Israel, too, because he said that I feel like he, and he said before, quote, let's just call a spade a spade. I didn't know much of this 6 months ago. He was talking about foreign policy, where he said, yeah, he wants to appease China because appeasing our enemies works really, really well. And he also doesn't understand the importance of having an alliance with Israel. And by the way, that's not just, he thinks it's foreign welfare. You realize they purchase, the deal with Israel is that they have to purchase American produced things. That's the deal. It's not like welfare. And it's also a deterrent to Iran. I feel like he doesn't know enough about these issues to talk at all about them, much less articulately. That to me is stunning, because like I said, this is not a learning on the job position. I wouldn't hire someone who didn't know how to take care of a damn dog to take care of my dog Rocco. There's no way in hell I'm going to have someone who doesn't even understand the basic, you know, ABCs of not just, you know, the Pacific, what's happening in the Pacific, but also within the Middle East, and learning on the job, running all of this as commander in chief. Are you kidding me? and to not understand the nature of the relationship with Israel. They purchase American manufactured things for their defense. That is the arrangement. And it's a hell of a deterrence to Iran. You know, the country that blows up our troops over in the Middle East. Like my friend Johnny Joey Jones, thanks to the Iranian mines. U.S. influence is measured by its alliances. So that's a big thing. The 911 thing was just an unforced error on his part. I just don't understand his whole thing on this. He said something very inarticulately. Then he tried to walk it back and say that he didn't say it. And this is audio soundbite 14. I mean, you can't claim media malpractice when you said the damn thing. Listen.
Well, the truth is, he did say it. The quote was accurate, and it is on tape. And yes, this is how the media works. You get quoted for things you say accurately.
Well, and I'm not a fan of CNN. You guys know that. I worked for them as a token conservative and did not want to continue. I'm not a fan of this. But you can't claim media malpractice and accuse someone of lying about what you said when there's a recording of what you said. And he knew that they recorded him. He agreed to it. That's what gets me. It's like you can't claim this. There's enough media treachery out there without having to do that. Because and especially when you're dumb enough to allow them to record you saying it. Good heavens. We got a lot more on the way. I don't know. He's got to be very, very careful because it's very easy to throw him. He's not the debater that you think he is. He's got a lot of tells and he gets rattled. And when it gets into foreign policy, that's going to be the end. Oh, man. He's acting like, oh, I don't need to prepare for my debate. Well, you can't BS your way through the stuff you already proven you don't understand, dude.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So 2/3 of Americans say don't tell guests to make yourself at home. They surveyed 2,000 Americans and it found 72% have told a guest to make this space their own and 91% regretted it after. They say that they regret allowing people to do that because they say that 45% say they overstay their welcome, 39% say they make a mess. Here's one thing I was thinking of. Do you think that the lockdown stuff has contributed to a lack of receptiveness or willingness to entertain at home? Because that was like where everybody stayed and that, you know what I mean? I'm just wondering if there's, I've been fascinated by that. Anyway, they did this. I just think that's actually kind of mean. Black vultures are killing newborn livestock in the Midwest and their territory is expanding. I just gotta say these birds look goth AF and ranchers are battling back against them. They're federally protected birds and they kill newborn livestock. Now they play a big ecological role, but their expanding population is becoming a very expensive and horrible nuisance. Like they go after piglets, baby pigs, they go after calves, all of this. I mean, you basically have to go out and like protect these animals and like try to scare off these black vultures. They'll just pick at them to death. That's horrific. They're ugly birds. I just have less of a heart for ugly animals. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be like PETA and, you know, ignore like the ugly animals in favor of the cute ones. The same. A man stung by nearly 2,000 bees was hospitalized in Sun City West. Golly. Stung by 2,000 bees. He somehow disturbed a hive. You think? We're going to talk to Chip Roy.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast on a station near you. You can also stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast of the program, YouTube, Facebook, and channel 247. DirecTV. I was 347. I knew it. I knew I was going to do it. It's been a long day. There's a lot of stuff happening, right? You had that Wagner Group guy. His plane fell out of a window. Right. Crazy. I will talk about that coming up. All right. So right now, because we got the debates tonight and then we got stuff happening at the border, I wanted to bring on great big giant rhino. Oh, gosh. He's like the biggest rhino out there, apparently. Big old giant rhino. Chip Roy. One of my favorite people in Congress. And you guys know I don't really like people in Congress, but I like Chip Roy. Congressman Chip Roy from the beautiful state, Republic of Texas. Congressman, it's good to have you. I had to jokingly introduce you that way, because I didn't realize that apparently being like really good on the Second Amendment and, you know, being against, you know, the ATF and the IRS and the federalization of everything and just wanting strong border security means you're a big old giant rhino. It's just wild. Welcome.
Well, you know, it takes one giant rhino to know another giant rhino, Dana, because, you know, that's the world we're living in right now. But and by the way, I don't like many people in Congress either. So we're
on the same tell. You know, I just couldn't tell. I mean, you just it's not you're just very, very quiet about your feelings on that. All right. So yeah. I wanted to ask you, I wanted to bring you on, talk to you about this story that I saw, because I got to give the Dallas newspaper, Dallas Morning, I got to give them some credit for the Olympic acrobats that they did here in this story. Yep. So the headline, get this, because this is all about border security. For anyone who was not following the story, it says, Texas Republicans who denounced defund the police, well, they're now threatening to defund Homeland Security. Now, this is all about making sure that there is money in the upcoming budget battle, in the budget that you're going to be fighting over when you go back to Congress, for border security. And for some reason, they're trying to say this is the same thing as defund the police. Talk to us about this.
Well, it's absurd. And to be clear, they didn't reach out to my office for comment before they wrote that story.
Shocker.
We've been given a little brief for that, and we'll pound them with a letter to the editor on it. But look, all we're trying to do is use the power of the purse, which the founders gave us, which James Madison wrote in Federalist 58. It was very clear, House of Representatives, we control the purse strings. And that's how you check an out-of-control Biden administration.
Right.
Now, the Dallas Morning News may love every policy of the Biden administration. No doubt they do. But to disingenuously say that, oh, we're somehow hypocritical because we were criticizing them for actually cutting police funding, as they did in Austin, $150 million, cut, gone, killing the police academy, killing our recruiting, killing our police force, causing crime to go up. And what we're saying is, of course, we want to have the proper level of funding to secure the border. We're all for it. But what we don't want to do is keep giving a check to Alejandro Mayorkas to not carry out his duty to secure the border. He's basically running a processing organization. That's not what he's supposed
to
do.
Not basically. He
is. So why would I give him a blank check to keep doing that?
And it's amazing in this piece, and you mentioned Mayorkas, the New York Times had done it, and to their credit, they actually did a decent piece on this. They did a huge investigative story on Alejandro Mayorkas and what he was doing with these third-party government contractors and in telling them that they have to process these kids brought over illegally, minors, not like, you know, 20-year-olds pretending to be 15-year-olds, but actually like little kids brought over illegally. And they were processing them so fast that these third-party contractors that were talking to the New York Times said, we actually couldn't vet where they were going. We couldn't make sure that they were going to someplace safe that wasn't going to introduce them to child trafficking. And wouldn't you know it, last month, a story comes out, a bunch of kids were found being trafficked, not just for labor, but also sexual trafficking as well. These are all kids that went through the Mayorkas Henry Ford conveyor belt thing. Nothing in this piece about that.
No, of course not. And look, you know, you're right there in South Lake, right there with Dallas and Fort Worth. In Fort Worth, Texas, a federal judge there, Reed O'Connor, upward departed the guideline because he was so horrified by the fact that you had employees of a cartel in Fort Worth who had detained a mom and a daughter in a stash house there, holding the little girl and her mom for ransom over the head of a guy who came here illegally, wanted a better way of life. He was in Baltimore. He paid his money to come to the United States. He paid his money for them, but they wanted another $23,000 or they were going to rape his daughter. That's what's happening in supposedly the greatest country and the safest and most secure country in the history of the world. And it's wrong. And as Christians, we should be horrified at the dead Americans with fentanyl poisonings, horrified at the dead migrants along the border and dying in trucks and in heat, and horrified at the little girls and boys, mostly girls, getting sold into the sex trafficking trade, as we saw presented, obviously, in The Sound of Freedom, but much bigger than that, about what we're seeing in the United States. So we have an obligation to stop that. And look, this administration is at war with the people of Texas. Greg Abbott, they're suing Abbott to stop the deployment of buoys and to do what they're trying to do to stop the tide and stem the flow. Frankly, you and I probably both agree that Texas could do more. Yeah. Lean into our constitutional duty and obligation to stop the flow and return them. But the governor and DPS, we've spent $10 billion doing the job of the federal government. Now they want to stop that. They're literally at war with our way of life, our security, our safety, and our prosperity. So I don't know why I should provide another dollar to them until we stop it. That's not shut down, defund. That's my job. Yeah. I don't give people a check to not do their job.
I mean, it's amazing to me. You're demanding more money for enforcement, and that you're not going to stop fighting until there's more money given for enforcement. That's the opposite of saying defund all of it permanently.
Right. Well, and that's right. Although I want to be very clear, I'm for more money if it's being used for security.
Right.
I'm for using those dollars to actually do your job. So I'd love to have some more resources for Border Patrol who have been getting overrun. But I don't want to give them more resources to process more people. I want to give them more resources to police the border and stop releasing people via the CBP One app, which now we've had. Look, we're going to have 200,000 encounters this month on top of the releases through the app and on top of the folks who are getting away through Gotaway. It's still happening, but we're not talking about it because we're talking about other news. But Bill Melugin, thank God, is reporting on it and some are others, but it's still happening.
Yeah, Bill Melugin, I think, is one of the best. I think he's the best reporter out there right now. He's just doing amazing work. Talking with Congressman Chip Roy. One thing I wanted, related to all of this, one of the things that I wanted to ask you, because this is going to come up, I think, in tonight's debate. There have been some candidates, particularly, I think, the Florida Governor DeSantis, who I've made no, I'm very transparent with my audience because I'm paid to have opinions. But I call balls and strikes because I'm not friends with anybody. You know, I prefer DeSantis. I'm going to vote for the nominee because I don't want to end the country in 2024. He had said something about treating the cartels, and you've spoken about this, as terrorist organizations.
Sure.
Explain to people, because I've had a lot of people ask me about this. They're like, well, what is that? What would that allow the United States to do? And how would it help either stem the tide of either drugs or, you know, human trafficking across the border? How does that work in the whole scenario?
Yeah, right now in our country, we do not have what I would call is a whole of government approach for targeting cartels like we do terrorist organizations like, for example, you know, an Al Qaeda, right? We don't have that, and we need it. What it does is frees up the tools of things like FISA, which, by the way, needs to be reformed to not be targeting American citizens. But we can use tools that are supposed to be used to go after bad actors and increase those tools available, increase the tools available to go shut down funding and the flow of cash, and increase the ability for us to use our intelligence assets and our law enforcement assets here, but also potentially our military assets. We need a whole of government approach to target the cartels as the threat that they are to our national security, our well-being. And I don't think that's a hard call. There is general agreement in that among the Republicans, whether you designate them as terrorists, whether you issue an AUMF, an authorization of the military force against cartels, whether we increase FISA tools for going after cartels while we reform FISA to not target American citizens. There are ways we can do it, but we need to do it. We need to do it ASAP.
The money aspect of that is very interesting because there's a lot of money that flows over the border and you know, even to some legitimate entities here in the United States. So that's very interesting because that's like a whole new kind of mafia thing, really.
Well, and look, a president who had the interests of this country first, who was very clear about what he or she wanted to do to stop cartels, to hold Mexico accountable, to stop China from, you know, exploiting our border, from stopping fentanyl, from stopping human trafficking, we could do it. Yeah. I mean, not perfectly, but we could certainly root it out, undermine it, hold the flow, give Border Patrol a fighting chance. We could increase the ability to prosecute criminals who move fentanyl and human trafficking, stiffen the penalties, have a you know, coordinated approach with local law enforcement. Governor DeSantis gets that. Joe Biden doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about, much less get that. And frankly, most other Republicans don't have a concerted plan to do it. Governor DeSantis does.
Does that allow also for a more coordinated response with the Mexican government? Because I know, I mean, you hear stories that, well, they pretty much just live in fear of the cartels. I mean, the power ratio seems incredibly off balance there. But does that benefit that? I mean, does that help them enforce on the other side?
Yeah, sure. I mean, but it's only going to work if we apply pressure to Mexico. Yeah. And we say, look, we're not going to just let you continue to have this free flow of, you know, dollars, you know, remittances going back to Mexico. But it would take literally 48 hours of a strong president sitting down at the table and telling Mexico, look, get your crap together. And don't give us this stuff that you're going to threaten to go saddle up with China. We need to do our part to hold Mexico accountable, require them to work with us. Let's export the rule of law to Mexico instead of importing fentanyl and human trafficking and despair into our country. That's the right policy.
What you said was, I thought, one of the key things in the saddle up with China, because that's kind of been this unspoken threat that the Mexican government has had with this whole border dispute. Like, if you press on us too hard, we know that you hate China. That's your biggest geopolitical foe. We're going to make your lives worse. We're going to go be best friends with them and, you know, maybe Belt and Road. Who knows?
Yeah. Number one, good luck. Number two, a strong leader would look the president of Mexico in the eye and say, you're not going to do that. Now, let's sit down and figure this out.
Yeah, this is the biggest issue, this border issue. And you've been right there on top of it. Last quick question. You're getting ready to go back in September 1st, going back in. I with everything in Maui, I caught one of the FEMA administrators talking to the press and saying that, oh, well, you know, FEMA needs more money, intimating that it was somehow limiting what they were able to do in the Maui response, which, you know, we know it's just bad stewardship of taxpayer dollars and it's government incompetency. But it sounds like they're going to try to set you all up for in the budget battle. Oh, well, I guess you don't care about helping people in Maui if you don't want to give FEMA more money. Are you guys ready to handle all that?
Well, Dana, I once turned around and from the gate at the airport, got in my car and went back before the House to object to a $19 billion request to pass by voice vote, $19 billion of emergency funding for the Southeast post-hurricane. Look, I'm for providing resources as we can, when necessary, and within our budget. But this idea that we just keep writing a check because people say, oh, and meanwhile, you got FEMA out there staying at fancy hotels and doing what they're doing. Here's one thing to be certain. One, we can help them, but it ought to be paid for. You want that money? Go take it out of IRS. You want that money? Go take it out of all the IRA funding that you gave to fat cat, you know, Green New Deal, you know, people. You want that money? You got to pay for it. And by the way, separate it from Ukraine. And let's have a separate debate on Ukraine. And if you want to pay for Ukraine, you got to pay for that too. And you got to make the case to the American people. None of this, like, you know, hold us hostage with all of these disasters and emergencies like they do every year. It's time to stand up. Republicans got to hold the line. No security, no funding. You do your job. Then we'll sit down at the table and talk.
There we go. Congressman Chip Roy from the Republic of Texas. Good to see you, sir. Thanks so much for joining
us. You too, Dana. Take care.
You too.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Why do people do this? Humans, right? A Florida man shared a photo holding a dolphin out of the water, which you are not supposed to do in Jacksonville Beach. And now, well, he's getting investigated for it. Whew. So this guy, he's getting backlash. He posted a photo of himself holding a dolphin up out of the water. He said that he shared it. It was a surfing account. He posted it on Instagram. And one of the guys who lives in Jacksonville Beach, who is a he's a surfer and a bartender, Kevin Bogrand. He said he was, quote, immediately enraged. He said it's a crime against nature. And so you're not supposed to disturb their behavioral patterns, injure them in the wild, basically lift them up, do any of that stuff. And so they said that it actually could hurt them. And one of the this marine biologist said the dolphin was probably ill to be caught like that. And so they have to have buoyancy to breathe. That's very interesting. This whole article gets into the science of that, which I found fascinating, but it's too long for this segment. So anyway, they're investigating him. It's the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, because that's really mean to it. And that guy's, is he in coral shorts? Am I looking at that correctly? I don't like this guy already. I don't like him. And he needs to lift. Anyway, you know what? Because you guys know how I am with stuff. You guys know how, except for spiders and crickets, because those are nasty. I don't care what happens to those. Although the spiders, I realize then they're necessary. I feel bad for this guy, but this is actually a hysterical story. I mean, the headline alone is funny, but it's bad, and I don't want to. I don't want to like make light of it. Imagine you're taking a nap in your recliner, right? You're in a recliner, you're lolling back, you're taking just a quick nap. Nice. And then you're awoken by a stranger beating you with a bat, because that's what happened to this Florida guy. He was in his recliner and he woke up right as a home intruder hit him in the head with a bat, like out of a movie. This is according to Bay County Sheriff's Office in the Panhandle. The 46-year-old victim survived, and he did identify the attacker. It happened at a rural home in Fountain, an unincorporated community about 80 miles west of Tallahassee. So the victim said he was in his recliner, he was snoozing off, and this dude entered his home and hit him with what I'm assuming is an aluminum bat several times. Then he took the victim's wallet, his keys, a bike, and a phone. The intruder fled. He was caught later that day when deputies encountered him during a traffic stop, and he still had all the stolen stuff on him. So the suspect is 25 years old. He lives in the area, but they say that he's considered transient. And so he was arrested. Now, hold on. This is what he's been charged with: home invasion, robbery, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, fleeing, eluding police, resisting an officer with violence, reckless driving, driving without a license, possession of a controlled substance without a prescription. Bond was set at $360,000. And the victim, I mean, his head and face got all beat up, but he didn't need medical treatment and he did refuse it. That's kind of, I just got to say, like, how does someone get in your house and you not know like that?
Right?
I mean, how do you not know? That's just so, because this weirds me out. All right, stay with us. We have a whole other hour on the way. Lots of stuff coming up. Don't miss.
I mean, we are the melting pot of the world, and that's what makes us strong is our diversity, and we need to learn to harness that and appreciate it and not use it as a political tool to keep everyone separate from each other, you know?
So this is, I got to caution our own side here. That's that Oliver Anthony. That guy who did the Richmond, North of Richmond, he's got another song that's out now, too. And people are trying to basically, some on the right are trying to milkshake duck the guy. Cancel him, basically. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the program and watch the simulcast on channel 347 DirecTV. We're going to be previewing the debate. You can sign up over at Substack, too, for subscribers. We're having a live discussion tonight. So this milkshake duck, if you don't know what that is, it's kind of a joke. It's several years ago, there was an account on Twitter that said that was making fun of cancel culture and how quickly society elevates someone and then cancels them and decides that, you know, cancels them and then over something that they find later on. And I think I'm going to pull this up. It said the original tweet said, "The whole internet loves Milkshake Duck, a lovely duck that drinks milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you the duck is racist." It's funny. It's like a joke. So it's just canceling. So he gives this interview. He's out in Farmville, Virginia. He gives this interview and he says his quote, "We are the melting pot of the world and that's what makes us strong, our diversity." And one account, and it snowballed from there. If it was just like one rando, I would ignore it. But it got 1.7 million views. And it said, "Oh, did he already sell out to the Richmond north of Richmond? Oh, he's a grifter, etc." All right. I got to be honest with you. I get kind of tired of this stuff. It's really hard to defend people when they fold so easily and use the same tactics against others that they decry being used against themselves. That's becoming my number one pet peeve. Here's why I say this. First off, I want you to keep this in mind. This guy's in Farmville, Virginia. He is not a politician. He's not a professional speaker. Okay? He's not going to say things perfectly the way that you want him to. He touched on something that I think undermines the claim that everyone's trying to make about him. They said, "Oh my gosh, he said diversity. That must mean he's on the left." Did you hear what he said before that comment, though? What did he say? What did he say? He said, "We are the melting pot of the world." And we got some dumbasses on Twitter who are like, "Oh, he's talking about he wants everything to be, you know, homogenous. He wants everything to be uniform, etc." That's not what he's talking about. And that's not what that means. You dumbass. I'm going to say it again because that harsh word is absolutely truthfully descriptive of that reaction. Here's why. When I was in Italy for 10 days. Absolutely loved it. Loved their new right-leaning prime minister, by the way. Loved it. Beautiful. The people were just so friendly. The food was so good. Oh my gosh, it was great. And I loved it so much. And as much as I loved it, I will never be Italian. I've said this so many times before. I think Vivek stole my line too from me, by the way. I'll never be Italian. I had a friend who went to France, went up to Normandy earlier this summer, that's like one of my dream vacations is to go to Normandy and look at the World War II sites and the cemeteries and that, and visit the cemetery and pay respects. And as and they were just taken with the reaction that they got from the French in the North. They just loved Americans. And they, my friend was saying, oh my gosh, their food was so good and they were so wonderful. Oh, if I had to pick any, you know, anything, I'd be, you know, from Normandy. But you can go there and you can never be French. Right? Went to San Juan. I visited San Juan with my family some years ago. Had like one of the best times ever. Amazing food, amazing drinks, the rum. Can never be Puerto Rican. But you can come to the United States and you can be American. It is singularly the only nation in the world where you can do that. And why is that? Because it is not a nation that predicates membership on a race, on an ethnicity, on a sex, on religion, on viewpoints, none of it. In fact, the only thing that is used as the identifier is how you answer this question. Do you want to be free? And if your answer is yes, and you come to the country, you can become a citizen, you're an American. It's that easy. That is E Pluribus Unum, which is what Vivek Sol. It's E Pluribus Unum. From one many. That is the melting pot. Because see, what he's trying to say there, and again, can we give people some grace, especially you, us on the right, who have not seen it used or extended towards ourselves by politicians, by the press, by even each other? Can we stop making the worst damn assumptions about someone because we're triggered like a damn snowflake over one word? He started out by saying we are the melting pot of the world and that's what makes us strong. Do people who apparently miss this, yes, I'm being mean right now and it's deservedly so. Do people who miss this lesson in school, do they understand what that meant? That he's talking about exactly what I just said. He's not a politician. He's not a talk radio host. He's a guy who writes catchy songs and he went viral. And now he's being asked all these questions and he's being judged at the same standard that a polished speaker or a politician would be. That is unfair. You don't like it when it's applied to you, so why the hell are you applying it to somebody else? The fact that he started it with, we are the melting pot of the world, that's E Pluribus Unum. That's one of the reasons why that statement, the left got mad at him because he said melting pot. They say it's racist. You know why they want you to stop saying it? Because it highlights something very important. If you have a uniformity because everyone wants to be free and you overlook those differences, you rob them of their greatest divisionary weapon. You rob them of their ability to divide a free people. And tyrants are only successful when they are able to divide a free people and get them to fight with each other over petty BS. That robs them of that. That's why the left hates it. And they are training the right to hate it, really for no reason at all. That's what he meant. That's what he's talking about. People got mad because he added the diversity. Well, you know what? What makes people strong is a bunch of people who come from all different walks of life who all want to be free. I mean, if you think that that's a bad thing, then you're at odds with the founders. Because they knew if you are united behind the principle of liberty, that animating spirit of liberty, nothing else matters. If you all want to be free and you want to live freely, that is what makes you American. E Pluribus Unum. People who want to be free can come to America and be free. Live freely. But the left is wanting to tether everyone with different identifiers. Do not let them bait you, please. Do not let them swindle you into turning on avatars of your beliefs, icons of your movement, or people that did a pretty damn good job of describing exactly how you feel in a certain moment and a snapshot of this American life. That's what he's talking about. Now, to this point, let's get into some of this other stuff. I wanted to talk to Kane about this because we were kind of joking about it. Did you guys hear that, what's his face? That Wagner Group guy, his plane fell out of a damn window. Did you hear about this? Did y'all hear about it? There's video of it. It's falling out of the sky. This video footage. Now, it said that the plane was owned by this, what's his name? Przinski? Przokin guy. They said the plane was owned by him, but some outlets are saying that he was on it. Plane just fell right out of the window up there in the sky and just fell right to the ground, Kane. So we were talking about this, and then I was looking at this video of Putin, who is apparently, he's at this meeting, and he's fidgeting with his hands. He's at this Russian Council for Strategic Development and National Projects, and he looked at his left wrist and didn't find his watch there, they said, in this video, and then he looked at his right, and then he like tries to switch his watch, and people are saying that it fuels body double speculation. I don't think it's a body double. Do you think this is a body double? Because then you would have to look so much like this dude for that to be a body double. And why wouldn't the United States just go if they knew it was a body double? Because we have a whole spy network. Why wouldn't they just go, dude, that's a body double, and just make it known, and then they're like shamed out of it, right? And then Kane's like, well, they got, I swear, it's like Charlie Day stuff. He's like, but they got these masks.
Hold on.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put this in Slack so you can see.
Yeah, yeah, go right ahead.
These masks cost $20,000 a piece. They take about a month to make. And
they look like masks, too. I hate to tell you.
Well, you can hate to tell me, but they are actually passing.
No,
people are passing
not.
For other people.
I just don't even believe
with these masks.
I don't believe this.
Well, you don't have to believe it. I'm just telling you what's
they're,
out there.
They don't. It looks fake. They look fake. I'm like looking at these photos. They look fake.
Yeah, those photos of course look fake because they're sentient heads.
It just.
They're not on bodies.
No, even. I think you can tell.
What was the last health news we had on Putin?
Oh, the shaky McShaky leg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Falling over.
Well, he didn't fall, but he was shaken.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it's a body double. And
like,
I'm willing to almost
like
believe anything at this point because I just distrust everything. But maybe he just didn't want to wear his watch on that. I don't know. It's just weird. I just don't. I mean, I'm looking at the still photos and it doesn't really look like a mask. It does look like he's wearing makeup, though. I totally think the dude wears makeup.
I don't know. He looks a little pudgy in the cheeks.
He's always looked pudgy in the cheeks. The dude
not
gets
always.
Filler. He gets like more filler than like ex-cable news hosts.
Not always. But look at his, he's looking at his left wrist.
Mm-hmm.
When Putin wears the watch on the right wrist. That's.
It looks like him.
It does look like him.
But what do I care though? Like what? I mean, he's still a jackass. What do I care? It's still him. It's either it's either a commie with a commie body double or the commie McShaky leg.
Right. But what if the news of Putin being dead, what would that do to the overall effort there in Ukraine?
Russia? These are the people who they live to spy, right? I mean, when you think of Russia and you think of the Kremlin, what do you think of?
Deceive is what
shady spies. That's what you think of. They would know. I think they would know. I just don't think that you could, because they sell each other out. I think they would know. I think it's him. I don't know. Maybe he'd got, I don't know. Who knows? I just don't know if I buy the face mask thing. I just think he would know. It's just too obvious. And especially if you're sitting there that long. But they said that it's, I don't know if it's a blunder or not, but it looks like him. I don't know. I don't know if I buy the whole Dave thing. You know, that old movie where it was a body double that they used for the president because that dude had like a stroke or something. Who was the guy? It was Kevin, what's his face? He used to be in all these movies. But you remember that movie, Dave, is about the American president?
Oh, yeah,
and
his
name is on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, I just don't think that this is it. I just don't. I don't know. We'll mull it over.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I love this. Pennsylvania crowned a 6-year-old. It's 2023 Kids Mullet Champion. He won $50,000, and he's going to buy an alpaca for his sister and some chicken wings. You know what? Chicken wings sound actually amazing right now. The 6-year-old Rory Ehrlich the Kids Mullet Championship. His hairstyle is dubbed the Cheddar Whiz. And all I got to say is that is a sweet mullet. That is sweet. And I particularly liked how mom has the party in smoothed. So he's like business up top and he's like, you know, party in the back and it's all smoothed out. I mean, these Kentucky waterfalls, these Camaro crash helmets, these Missouri compromises are very lovely indeed. So congrats to the first place, second and third place in the Kids Mullet Championship. Keeping it real. Also, we got this. Let's see. Oh, this Domino's Pizza is closing all 142 stores in Russia. I didn't even know they had them in there. In Kansas, it is so hot, a Wichita man cooked his cornbread, baked his cornbread outside. I believe that. I believe that. And a homeowner devastated by an HOA's bizarre and restrictive new vehicle ban. He says that it's his only way to actually get to work. He doesn't know what he's going to do. They banned e-bikes and other e-forms of transportation. It ended up on Reddit, and it said the condo association VP saw him with his e-board and asked him about the performance of it, and then they banned electric bikes, electric scooters, or any other comparable battery-powered devices. They cited hazards, but he says that's literally his only way to get to work. Huh. It's kind of weird. Are they worried about like fires and that? Stick with us. We got more in store. Next.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
I want everyone to think about this. When the Republican candidates for president get on the stage this Wednesday, August 23rd, the front runner who has decided not to be there will be out on bail in four different jurisdictions: New York, Miami, Washington, and Atlanta. We can no longer pretend that this is normal.
I don't think that helps him. I don't think that helps Christie with his messaging. And here's why. Because a lot of people think it's a witch hunt. I mean, that's not what you should be. That's not the message I don't think that you should have if you're going into this. I don't think Christie gets that, but I don't think that his point is to win or advance himself. I think he's just a cudgel. I think that's who I think the establishment sent. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. And the debate tonight. Whew. This is going to be interesting. Now, I was telling you who all we got. We're going to be up at the debate. Asha Hutchinson, you got that one guy who looks like the Great Value, Eugene Levy, Burgum. You got Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Mike Pence, Christie, and Tim Scott. Yeah, I said Tim Scott. And then you got Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that are going to be up there. Now, I'm going to send a preview. I think that it's going to be everybody's looking for their moment, right? A candidate needs a moment, especially if you're the underdog. And I was talking yesterday how this is really a two-person primary. And it's really the way to judge, I think, and get a good perspective of how this is going to shake out isn't the national polling is stupid at this point. We're still 5 months out from the very first caucus. That's a long time, y'all. A lot can happen in 5 months. A lot of people can do a lot of dumb things or really smart things in 5 months. You just don't know. But it's really premature at this point, I think, to say that anything is done. And you can't, national polling, it's not as accurate. It is not as drilled down on the issues. They're not looking at the most, in a lot of cases, the most motivated voters. That's why you see all these polls out, but yet only certain polls can actually be used to qualify people for the debate stage because so much of it out there is just trash. This is a delegate game at this point. You have to vacuum up the most delegates in these early states, right? And so Iowa being the first, that's the name of the game. Looking at favorability, looking at candidate footprint. When you see the Des Moines Register showing with the candidate footprint and favorability and that stuff taken into account, it's like, what, a 2-point difference within the margin of error between the leading two contenders of the Republican primary. I mean, the other people are still chasing. The other candidates, I think, on the stage are just going to be trying to get up into that, trying to get closer to that number two position. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it. Everybody's very familiar with Mike Pence. They're familiar with Christie. They're familiar with Nikki Haley. And I think with Tim Scott, he's not aggressive, and he, I think, kowtowed to the left a little bit when it concerned the defunding the police and the BLM stuff. He got a lot of criticism, and I think I understand it. He got a lot of criticism from the right on that. A lot of conservatives who were wondering why he was trying to triangulate and borrow a little bit from the left during that issue. And I think there's some justifiable criticism there. It was a lot of people said that his bill was weak that he had put forward. It gave the right, it gave Republicans a talking point. They could say, oh, Democrats were pushing back against, you know, funding the police bill that was put forward by, you know, a black senator. But it was kind of a weak bill. So you have Chris Christie, who I think is just up there to be mean. And he's just going to waylay everybody. He's basically there to shadow box. He's there to fight the previous president. But he's not going to be there. So it's going to be kind of weird for him. If he, and I do think that he was sent by the establishment. I really do. Because he is establishment. Him and Pence are like the same people. They were, I mean, they were the people that, especially Pence and DeSantis, when they were serving, when they were in Congress, it was DeSantis that did the Tea Party caucus, not Pence. It's just very weird how that all came out. So I don't, how are Christie and Pence going to be? That's going to be weird. It's just all weird. And I don't know what the hell Hutchinson and Burgum, they don't have a shot in hell. They're just up there to be noise. And we're going to have to devote some, you know, minutes of the debate to listen to whatever it is that they have to say. Nobody cares. You have Vivek Ramaswamy, who thinks that this is a learning on the job thing. I did not have beef with him until he started saying media malpractice whenever he was recorded and accurately quoted. And trying to act like he was being disserviced in the same manner that other people were, which is not true. He is just not disciplined. I don't know why people think he's such a great debater. He knows nada about foreign policy, except I think how it benefits his subsidiaries and his investments with Chinese companies, if we're being honest. If I'm being honest, you know how I was saying earlier that I think he's a stalking horse for Trump? He could also be a big pharma candidate out there to try to derail anybody who poses a threat to big pharma. It's pretty Occam's razor, just throwing it out there. So it'll be very, very interesting. They are, in order to really, I think, for them to go at, because they're all going to be gunning for DeSantis, they have to approach it from the left, really. You can't really hit him from the right. And these are people who are talking about what they would do. And only few, I mean, really only some of the governors that are up there on stage can say that I've done this. And I think of them, the strongest conservative record, regardless of whether I like him or not, is DeSantis. And he's done all this stuff. I mean, it's nice that Vivek wrote a book about it afterwards. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see this, to see how this goes and to see what the mood is. If I were advising them, I would tell them to, they would have to do everything that they could to compromise number one, the number one person on stage. If I was talking to DeSantis, I would say, you're going to have to rock Ramaswamy immediately so he doesn't get comfortable in his rhythm and, you know, start monologuing like a megamind, right? You got to immediately take the rhetorical shiv and do that. It's just going to, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I really don't. It's just a weird debate. So the Trump pre-recorded an interview with Tucker that is going to air on Twitter. You know, people can watch the TV and Twitter at the same time, right?
It's true.
Right?
It's true.
Why are the hell are we acting like this is going to like preempt or stop anything? I can, you know how many times I'm on Twitter and watching TV simultaneously? Okay, there you go. So I mean, I don't think that's, it might be interesting. I don't know. I think he's going to live tweet everything though, which is going to make people watch it. You know he's going to. You know Trump is going to be, he's going to be on his platform and he's going to be, and his surrogates are going to be sharing his stuff on Twitter. You know it's going to happen like that. And then that's just going to make people watch it all the more. So I don't know. It's odd. The whole thing is weird. I don't have any, what do you have any expectations for tonight, Kane?
I don't know.
No, I think there'll be some desperate effort on the production staff at Fox to, you know, get the attention that they knew they would probably get with Trump. But now that he's not there, I think there's going to be some work behind the scenes to try to get, I guess, these candidates to do a little more fighting, be a little more vocal. I think the moderators might even help direct some of that. But outside of that, I don't know. I think it'll be kind of boring, to be honest with you.
Do you? Yeah. I think if any of the fireworks, I think, will be... I look for Chris Christie to have a tantrum. I actually want him to. I want to see him just explode on stage. I mean, like, in terms of emotion. I'm curious to see how that goes. Because he seems mad, right? He seems like a mad dude. Like, he's got some stuff that he needs to get out. Doesn't it? It feels like this... In some respects, I wonder, for some of these candidates, is it going to be more like group therapy for you? Or is it, you know, a debate? I'm just wondering about all of that. All right. So I'm sure that the mask stuff is going to come up because now they're pushing all these, the mandates and, or well, they're trying to anyway. Do you think they're going to bring this back on airlines, Kane?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I do. And I think it'll even be before the end of September.
You're
but
kidding.
I definitely believe it'll happen by October.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy another damn mask. Not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I will literally pack and show up and they can escort me off the plane. I'm not kidding you. If they start doing this and if corporations start doing this, you all need to be ready to start Bud Lighting the hell out of everybody. Yep. Because that's the only thing that's going to stop this. You're going to have to tank a company. Mm-hmm. I'll totally do it. I'll help. Where do we start? I mean, you really will. You're going to have to Bud Light a company. That's the only thing that's going to make these people stop pushing this nonsense. I mean... It doesn't even work. It doesn't work. It's a microscopic particle that will easily fly through the weave on any mask.
Or the sides.
Or the sides. I mean, we had a whole thing on this. I talked to a guy. He's like, basically the gas masks are the only thing that would actually offer some protection. Right. And you can't even wear those on the plane. Remember? There was a dude who was escorted off the plane because he said this is the only thing scientifically. Actually, and he's a scientist. And they made him get off the plane because it's not about science. It's a pacifier. It's what it is. It's a pacifier. It's opiate for the masses. It's what it is. Exactly. And people are going to buy into it. So you are going to have to resist and you are going to, it might be uncomfortable for you. It might be uncomfortable for your kids. But honestly, that is the only way to end it quickly because this cannot happen again. Absolutely. It just cannot. So we're going to see how that has to come up in the debate tonight. I would imagine that will. I hope foreign policy comes up, considering China's the biggest geopolitical foe, right? I wanted to point this out as well. I saw this, I see people do this. I'm like, why? Why are you doing this? So apparently, I think the former president had dinner last night. Miranda Devine put this out, by the way. She was one of the people who it was Politico, and apparently she looked into it. So it's not some campaign troll or anything. So in Milwaukee, Trump apparently had dinner at a steakhouse and passed out pudding packs and had dinner with Dana Bash, a bunch of lefty, mostly CNN people. Shane Goldmacher, Kristen Welker, Bob Costa, Finn Gomez, Dasha Burns. Remember, she's overseen a bunch of CNN reporters and mainstream media reporters. Handing out like pudding packs and all this stuff. As well as debate bingo cards. So, and there are photos of it. DeSantis sat down with Jake Tapper, and Trump's camp was screaming. It was said that they were colluding with the press. That's true. What is this? What is that?
What?
If doing an interview with Jake Tapper is colluding with the press, the hell is this?
That's a good point.
I mean, are we going to have consistency, or are we not going to have consistency? I'm having a real hard time here. With trying to figure out why people are making it hard for themselves. why. I mean, this is, it's, it doesn't make sense to me. So if we're going to talk about the progressive media establishment, because you know the if we're going to, I mean, doesn't that seem like that's, sounds pretty cozy. I'm just saying. And then you had that, apparently the Never Back Down pack was spam reported into suspension that was reversed later or earlier today. That's kind of interesting. I'm just saying, I'm not going to defend people who use the tactics that, you know, we've defended them against. When they start using those same tactics against others, you're on your damn own. I'm not going to defend you. Why should I use my energy? Why should I use, you know, my capital? You know what I'm saying? I don't got time for that. Because loyalty, I thought loyalty mattered. Or did it not? I mean, it's not just loyalty to, you know, when you're talking about loyalty, I look at loyalty to the people. What about the loyalty to the people who defend, you know, Republicans and even that campaign against the media malpractice? What about loyalty to those people who put their asses on the line and get dragged to court and nobody's paying their court bills? There's no fundraising or campaigning that's paying for those people's court bills, like Jenna Ellis. She was doing her job, and now she's going to be probably bankrupt because of the legal action taken against her. Nobody's paying her bills. I mean, when you talk about loyalty, where does it... I mean, apparently it ends somewhere. Do we know? I'm just so tired of all this stuff. This is the stupidest damn primary in the history of primaries. We got a lot more on the way. I hate everything. We're SMOD. SMOD 2024.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
I was reading this New York Times piece, and the headline says, airline close calls happen far more often than previously known. And it gets into this July 2nd story of this pilot that had to abort a landing at Louis Armstrong, New Orleans International Airport. If only, Kane, we had like, transporting stuff. Yeah. And a guy or a girl leading it, maybe. I don't know, right?
To hires based on competency as opposed to what box you check.
Well, we all know it's more important whether or not you have a vagina, a frankangina, or a penis when you're flying a plane. That's more important than whether or not you can actually fly the plane. No, it's true. You guys know that's true. That's how it is, bigots. You guys know it's true. All right, we got the debate tonight. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, because we're going to do a live thread. Kane, today in stupidity.
Well, you know, Anthony Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, yet in Cut 18, he seems to have expertise in other areas. Listen to this.
But the climate change countering has to come from an international commitment to decrease the carbon imprint in society so you don't have the kinds of crazy weather that we're having in this country. I mean, if you look at it...
Why is he talking about the climate and climate change? It's not his wheelhouse.
I told you, I don't go to his work and not... So he does not need to be doing this.
It's over.
Are you okay? Did you make it? Sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse, over at Substack. We got the live thread for subscribers tonight. You don't want to miss. It's always rowdy and fun, and we'll recap it tomorrow.